Hello again. Well, guys, I have the distinct pleasure of finishing, partially finishing our Advent series today. And so what we've done, if you've not been here, we've been focusing on the kind of four things that Jesus brings to us. The first week, we focused on hope. The second week, we focused on love. The third week, we focused on joy. And just like we had with our reading today, we're going to focus on the reality that God brings peace. So my goal in this today is not to give you a gift of peace, but to show you where peace comes from. So let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we can deceive ourselves. The world can deceive us, but your word brings clarity. So, Lord, where we are confused, where we've set our peace on something else, Lord, I pray that you would allow your word today to speak to the truth that we need to hear. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts and our minds to you, that you would show us, Lord, how we in this world can live with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So my main thing that I want you to walk away with today is that peace is not a human achievement. Peace is a gift from God, which is naturally something that we would think of, and you probably wouldn't disagree with me with that, but we live in a tension of making that a reality. Our world describes peace like this: freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility. How many? Don't raise hands. Okay, because the person that's maybe causing that may be sitting right beside you. But how many during this season feel a freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility? This season, sadly, is not that. This season is crazy. This season, I mean, if you've gone to the grocery store or into Walmart yesterday, Target, I mean, you name it. I mean, driving around, everybody that has waited to the last minute to get gifts is now in sheer panic mode. And so, like, as our world defines it, we struggle to live in and experience peace on a daily basis because our life, even outside of the season, is rarely free from disturbance, rarely quiet and tranquil. So just like all the other topics that we've covered over the last 4 weeks, I want to redefine this. I believe a better biblical concept of peace would be to be complete, to be sound, to be whole. In peace, if you're looking for it from a freedom of disturbance or quiet and tranquility, will be hard to find. But peace, as it is defined by the Bible, will be completely different. It can be something that even in the midst of the craziness, even in the belly of the beast, which is Walmart, during this season, where, you know, human nature just spills over. Even in the middle of that, we can have peace. We can walk in it. We can experience it. And what I want to do today is to reshift that. And I've tried to do that every week as we look at where our joy really is and destroying this idea that happiness is what we're shooting for, but joy is where we can get. And really seeing that we cannot even understand love outside of what God has done for us and how much He loved us and how hope is this confident expectation of something that is to come, and we can trust God to deliver on His promises. So my question for you before we get into the Word is, where is your peace resting? If your peace is resting in how the world defines it, most likely this morning there isn't much peace. Most likely right now, all you're thinking about is all the family stuff that's going to happen over the next 36 hours, all the traveling that some of you are going to do over the next 36 hours, all the trash that's going to be accumulated in the next 36 hours, all the batteries that you've forgotten that the item will not work without. All of these things are running through your head like, have we? Now I've just said batteries. And now you're thinking, did I get all the right batteries? And that's just the world we live in. The world we live in is constantly trying to almost leech our peace from us, take it out of us. And the word, I believe, from the text that we're going to go through today is going to put us into the reality that our peace comes from one source alone. And if we connect to the source of peace, then peace can be ours in spite of what batteries we don't have. In spite of what isn't going to be pleasurable over the next 24 hours. In spite of the disturbance and the lack of quiet and tranquility that'll go on, we can have peace. Because our peace isn't placed on something. And so the first text that I want to go out of, and they're going to be on the screen behind you, comes out of Isaiah 9. And we talked about, even in hope, that you know a lot of the prophetic words that were proclaiming who Jesus was, what he was going to do, who he was, they were spoken the truth 700 years before the event actually happened. So in Isaiah 9, 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." He's the one that rules and reigns over that peace. And that jumps right into to our next one, which we actually covered last week, talking about the shepherds in Luke 2, verse 13 and 14. So the shepherds, like we talked about last week, were in the field. They were minding their own business. They were doing their thing. And the multitude, actually an angel appeared. And then the multitude began to sing and to tell these lesser people, the outcasts, the ones that weren't involved in the church going on, which it wasn't called the church, but they weren't brought into that because they were out working with the dirty animals. And God brought it to them. And in their joy, they went to see what the angels had said. And so in verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.'" Peace from God the Father through the Son to those he is pleased. and the tension mounts of like, well, is he pleased with me? And we're going to go right into how he is pleased with us. So don't start checking the list of like, well, I wasn't at church last week. You know, and he keeps that log of who's not here. And he reports directly to Jesus. You get in trouble. Some of you are really thinking, like, he's always going on his phone. Is he checking? He's checking the box. Who's there? But he is that Prince of Peace, that he is bringing peace to earth. And then we go into John 14 verse 27 in chapter 14. It says, "Peace I leave you." And this is Jesus talking to his disciples on not the eve of, but almost as he's getting ready to go to the cross and getting ready to leave. And he's talking to them saying, "Peace I leave you," because it's his to leave. It's his to give. "My peace I give to you." Again, it is his to give us. It is not something that we can achieve. It is not something that we can work towards. It is not something that we on our own can have more than just the moment that it's peace and quiet as we lock ourselves in the closet. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I mean, this is Jesus telling his disciples, which they don't really get it yet, that I'm leaving, and then even in that, I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you what the world cannot. The world's trying to do the other, saying, oh, if you have peace, then peace is only going to come from freedom of disturbance and quiet and tranquility. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to give like the world gives. I'm going to give like I give. And I'm going to give you a peace that will be with you during this moment, that after 3 years of following him around and calling him the Messiah, believing he's going to do everything that the prophecies have spoken about, and he's telling them, they still don't get it, I'm going to die. And he's saying, but I'm going to give you something in that that is going to be so much greater than my presence. Like right now, we wouldn't have the presence of God with us without Jesus. He actually tells his disciples, it is to your benefit that I leave so that I can send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, here. The Word of God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm with you. So like in this room, and I know that may seem weird to some of you, but the presence of the living God is in here. In this room, giving us the capacity to experience his peace. Because he wasn't all only speaking this to his disciples, but he's speaking it to us. And here's a text, and I'm going to read a fair amount of this out of Ephesians 2. And I this wasn't my intention in preparing for this, but I read this and I was like, this is it. And if we want to look at how we understand peace, how we, like the angel said, on earth peace among those whom he is pleased, let's understand what that looks like. So Ephesians 2, starting in verse 14, and we're going to read through 22. It's going to be on the screen behind me. For he himself is our peace. Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. What has separated us from that peace, what has separated us from God the Father, Jesus in his flesh is eradicating. In verse 15, it says, by abolishing the law and the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. So making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility in him. Verse 17, it says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. It says, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into the dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. It is his work. Let me tell you, who is pleasing the Lord? Those who are trusting him. Because we know for sure that it will never be your actions, your effort, or your energy to prove yourself before God that will make you acceptable before him. Because if that was a possibility, there would be no need for the cross. There would be no need for the cross. There'd be no need for this baby to be born here to lead his life in purity, to not sin on our account so that he can enter the cross and save us from ourselves. See, we cannot bring peace between us, the hostility. We can't get rid of the hostility between us and the Father. But Jesus can. Jesus can eradicate that hostility. Jesus can bring peace to you through him. I think it was last week we were talking about this idea that, you know, so often we get so confused with Christmas, we start looking at what Christmas is and the Christmas trees and the Christmas presents and all these other things that should be pointing up. We should be looking through those things to Jesus. See, Jesus is saying, don't look at these things and get so caught off guard by what's going on. Look through those things to me. See, this morning, the peace that God wants to give you is not settling everything that's going on. It's not stopping the chaos that's around you. It's not fixing all the things that are broken in your life. It is him asking us to look to him for our peace. Because he is the author. It says, for he himself is our peace. It's not the absence of fill in the blank. It is Jesus being our peace. And if you don't have peace this morning, it is not because of something you're doing or not doing. It's because you're looking to the wrong source of peace. See, I mean, just to be honest, there potentially in this room are people that don't have peace because you haven't checked the box that you believe that you need to check for God to give you peace. Instead of going, it is God that brings peace to me. And this is not to say, well, we just look to Jesus and we don't do anything. We're not responsible for anything. But it is understanding the order. See, the order to our peace is Jesus first and then action. Like, God wants us to be in his word. But he does not want us to be in his word so that we can show him that we love him. I'm telling you, I grew up in this system that it's like, you know, I haven't opened my Bible in a week and I'm not sure if God likes me anymore. Instead of going, God loves me so much so that he wants to give me peace, he wants me to have joy, he wants to give me hope, and he wants to show me his love first. And then that increases my desire to read more about him. See, sometimes it's just we've got to flip it to the other side and we've got to look at it and go, it is not a human achievement, but it's a gift of God. See, where is that gift? And we talked about joy yesterday as this like kind of wrapped, beautiful present that says joy is in the box and opening the box and seeing nothing inside of it. See, we want to unwrap the right gift. We want to unwrap the right thing. See, God's purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life, the greatest gift in your life. Like, a lot of times we don't have peace because we're looking for something else to be that glorious thing. See, what this means is that the peace of God or the peace of Christ can never be separated from God himself and Christ himself. If we want peace to rule in our lives, this is big. If we want peace to rule in our life, God must rule in our lives. Let me say that again. If we want peace to rule in our lives, so if you want peace, then God must rule in our lives because the author and the place is God. Peace. So we can't go, ooh, like, oh, I want joy or I want hope or I want love and not, well, I could do without God. Like, we don't get those things. So if we want peace to rule in our life, God must rule in our lives. Christ must rule in our lives. God's purpose is not to give you peace separate from himself. His purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. So that being said, if peace isn't there, then the most glorious thing in your life may not be what it should be. It may not be fixed on the person of Jesus. See, we celebrate right now not a season. And I know that this season has been polluted. It's been changed. It's been commercialized. It is literally the backbone of our economy in the U.S. I understand that it is so easy to get lost into the things of this world. And I believe that the enemy is enjoying doing what he's doing during the season because it distracts you. It takes your focus off of where all of this comes from and it puts it on something else. And the problem is that if we're not focused now in January, it's going to be even worse. Because we have the ramifications of what we spent. In December, that we'll be reminded in January, instead of just literally going this season, the reason why we celebrate is to redirect our focus and attention to our source. Like the gift that I think that God wants to give you today is not peace as a present. He wants you to have Him as a present. Because out of him flow hope, love, joy, and peace. Period. We read this earlier during the reading, but I'm going to close with this. Verse Romans 15:13. It's more of a prayer. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, because He's the source. If you aren't experiencing that, then maybe you're looking for it in the wrong place. Because here's God the Father through Paul saying, may the God of all hope fill you with joy, all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That's where we rest. That's where we live. And it's so easy to even now start thinking about, oh, you know, all this other stuff that has to happen today, instead of going, God, we celebrate your birth. Because without a birth, there will never be a cross. Without this, without what we're celebrating, without Emmanuel, God becoming flesh, there would be no cross. There would be no restoration of us. There would be no removal of that hostility between us and the Father, but because of Him, we get to celebrate what He's doing. That's where our joy comes from. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up, and we're going to do what I think is just a great thing to do today. We are going to take communion together. And let me explain that. So if this is your first communion at Reach, communion can be strange. It can be, because if you don't know what you're doing, you see other people doing things, and it's like, what do I do? So here's just communion in a nutshell at Reach. There's one table in the back. There is a plate that is going to have gluten-free bread and a little cup with juice in it. And so we do communion by what we call intinction. Not we call, someone else calls it. It's kind of a strange word, I understand. But that just means that you're going to, when you're ready, go back to the table. You're going to grab a piece of bread and you're going to dip it in. And you can, with your family, come back to your chair and take it together. You can take it right there. But it is there for you. And so what is or who is communion for? Because that's another big question. You know, if you this is your first time, like, well, I'm not a member here, or well, whatever. Here is our stance on who communion is for. Communion is for anyone who has said yes to Jesus. So if you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then you are part of our family, whether this is your first Sunday here, and you're welcome to our table. Because Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And after that, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood that was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so the beauty of communion is, as we go take communion, we're reminded that it's not us. It's not your sacrifice that has given you peace and not hostility. It is not your work or effort. It is the completed, finished, whole work of Jesus. So as we close our service, the beauty of this is that we get to be reminded today that it's not you. It never was. And Jesus looked forward, understanding our need, and came in the flesh for us. And willingly spent 33 years experiencing the life that we've experienced, understanding what it means to be hungry, understanding what it means to be sore, understanding what it means to be sunburned and to live and get rained on and be too hot or too cold, understanding what it means to be rejected, so that he could now, sitting beside the Father, tell you, I know you better than you know yourself. Not only did I create you, but I have experienced what you've experienced. And as we receive communion, it's a reminder that God loved us so much that he came, that he lived the life that we could not live, so that we could have peace. The fruit of the Lord is peace. And we get to be reminded now, as we take communion together as a family, as sons and daughters of the King, that he loves us. And I know it's just bread, and I know it's just juice, but it is what those things represent. That was his body, and that was his blood shed for us, so that we can have peace, that we can have hope, that we can experience joy, and that we can know that he loves us without a doubt. And so if you're here in this room and maybe possibly you don't know Jesus, you can fix that. We're going to take a little bit to just prepare ourselves before we take communion. And if you are here and you're like, I don't know, like, I don't have peace, I don't have joy, I don't have love, because I don't have the source. Well, just what I said right before is that he did that for you. And what you have to do is go, you are now my source. I could not, you could, you did. I believe that you died and paid the penalty for my sin so that I could walk in wholeness. And you can say a heartfelt prayer to yourself sitting in the chair and start a journey of being a follower, disciple of Jesus today. And you can get right up and have your first believer's communion, which is an amazing thing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and you can sit for however long you need to. And when you're ready, walk to the table and take the elements. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that this season will not go by again without us being reminded of how great you are. And Lord, we just pray that the peace of God be poured out in our lives, Lord, where maybe there's chaos and maybe there's not quiet, maybe not tranquility. Lord, we just ask for your peace to come. The peace that you give that isn't like the world's peace, the peace that makes us whole. So Lord, this morning we just ask that you would make us whole. Lord, I pray that you would bless the taking of communion, that you would encourage us this morning, showing us again and again what you've done for us. And we pray all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.